G'day, Buzz.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. More drama on the weekend, eh? A call yesterday.
Oh, I saw that, Buzz. At the start, and we're talking about the incident between Jack Hetherington and Reid Marnie in the tunnel. When I first saw it, I thought they must have been great mates. I saw Jack with a big smile on his face bouncing around, but then I saw the reaction from Reid, and it looked to be a bit more than just mates.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. The match review committee will deal with this morning because what I can't recall seeing that in a tunnel, certainly not televised. You know, these days, I'm surprised Jack was so stupid to do it there in the tunnel, knowing that Fox Sports and Channel 9 always cover that area of an NRL venue, and it was just dumb, wasn't it? And I've watched so many replays of it. I don't think he was overly serious in what he was doing. The way he was shaping up, and he almost looked like he had a smile on his face. But Reid Marnie, as you said, was very disappointed after the game, and it'll be an interesting one. Look, I think they'll hit him with a contrary conduct charge.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it might be a bit more than the fine.
Oh, really?
I think the NRL have got to show that when you are sin-binned in an NRL game, you leave the field immediately, you go straight to the down the tunnel and to your and into your dressing room. And I wouldn't be surprised if we're looking at a couple of weeks here. Please, look, I don't think I'm overreacting. Situations like that can get out of hand and... I guess we haven't seen anything like that. Remember the Battle of Brookvale, Glenn Stewart and Adam Blair? That was on the field after they'd both been sin-binned. And after that, referees sort of separated the sin-binnings and kept one back for 30 seconds, etc. They were both suspended, but they actually exchanged punches, didn't they? Look, I think he'll be facing a couple of weeks, and he's a complete dope for doing it and... You know, tunnels are public viewing now.
Yeah, they certainly are.
You reckon I'm overreacting, boys?
I'm a bit unsure, Buzz. I'd love to get Reid's take on it. As in,
look,
you know, I don't know whether they were mates or anything like that. I'm unsure because I know you can't do it, and I would think there'd be a fairly hefty fine. But I mean, if they're mates and it was a bit of a mucking around. But the only thing that stops me from thinking that was the reaction straight away, Reid. But I'm unsure. I'd hate to see 2 weeks for that.
Yeah.
I think you'll get a fine. I think that's what will happen. What is it, contrary conduct or bringing the game into disrepute or one of those type charges he'll get hit with?
Yeah, I'd go a little bit heavier myself. I just think, although a fine, you know... It's really not fair. The club and the fans are penalised, isn't it? They're in all sorts, Newcastle, and, you know, to lose an impact forward off your bench, maybe a fine, a heavy fine, will send a message to them that this sort of behaviour won't be tolerated, you know, after a sin bin.
Yeah, you just mentioned the Knights, sorry. So they got smashed in the New South Wales Cup again yesterday. Caelan Pong is injured. I'm seeing on our text line their fans are starting to get restless as well.
Look, I don't want to get on here and talk about coaches being under pressure every Monday morning, but the bottom line is they stormed home. They won, 10 straight last year. Ponga won the Dally M. And so there were big expectations around Newcastle this year. And I think I had a look at the premiership table before coming on. And while we're only into round 7, without Ponga, who's the only real X factor in that side, as you said, the New South Wales Cup got beaten by 50, so Adam O'Brien hasn't got a lot to play with, does he, to improve the football side? I think they're in all sorts. And as I said, I'm nearly ready to put the red felt pen through them, maybe the Titans as well. And look, I can't see South coming back from where they are. Newcastle have been terribly disappointing. They're a better football side than they're playing at the moment. Mm. Interesting, though, because Adam O'Brien, midway through last year, was Gonski, but then they went in that 10-game streak and he earned a new 3-year contract during the off-season, which I thought he deserved. And I think he's entitled to more. But I was getting phone calls. There were noises yesterday afternoon about him. And but look, I keep saying to myself, it is round seven. I know we're going to get on to Brad Arthur in a minute, but they're in massive, massive trouble without Ponga. And I don't think there's any way out of it. And do you agree, Laurie? They're Gonski for the year? Or?
Oh, they lose Kalen. Yeah. I think they lose him for a significant period. I think they are in all sorts because I think on the back of what he was able to do last year led them to those finals appearances. And from what I've seen so far this year, they're not playing anywhere near as well. And if he's out for a significant period, I just can't see them winning enough games to get them in contention. And then they're going to have to win 10 out of 11 games or something like that to make finals. But it was a remarkable sort of turnaround, though, when you look at it, that corresponding game last year where the Bulldogs got hammered. And they got hammered in reserve.
Unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah. So they've actually improved. I think the Knights have gone backwards. You mentioned Brad Arthur, Buzz, and I see your column is done on Parramatta this week. And again, we have to say we're only 7 weeks in, but the coaches are now under pressure, Adam O'Brien and Brad Arthur. It's now time to face a bit of scrutiny.
Yeah, look, I can understand you can say we're only seven games into the competition. But the bottom line is you have to look at the enormity of that loss to the Dolphins. And the second half scoreline, I think, was something like 40 points to 6. And that is just not good enough from a Parramatta side. They conceded 8 tries in 25 minutes, which is almost one every 3 minutes in the second half. And that team the Dolphins put onto the park the other night was way below their best side. They were missing a number of key players. And Parramatta went up there as favourites. So the Dolphins were without Farnworth. They were without Kafusi, Tom Flegler and the Great Hammer. Yet they just destroyed Parramatta in that 25 minutes. Now, we spoke about the Newcastle Knights, New South Wales Cup team. Well, Parramatta are running last in New South Wales Cup. The Jersey Fleek side haven't won a game. Mm. Now, for a club with a feeder system and that massive junior league, that is unacceptable. You look ahead, they've got Manly, they've got the Broncos, they've got Storm in the next 3 weeks. Now, Sean McElduff, the chairman, where I got disappointed with him and our little exchange in the paper today, all he wants to do is blame Mitchell Moses' interview. I tried to point out to him that they conceded, I think, of 41 points against Canberra, 44 against the Dolphins, and Mitchell Moses wouldn't have changed that defence. And the fact, on both occasions, they did not turn up. You look at Penrith without Cleary, the Broncos without Reynolds, Storm when they were without Munster. They battled on and kept winning. And it says a lot about the entire structure and the pathway system at Parramatta that they don't have another option to bring into that football side where Mitchell Moses is crook. They are in all sorts. And Brad Arthur has been there a long, long period of time. They missed the finals last year. They've won something like 6 of their last 15 games. And he said they gave up. That's the heaviest quote you can get. Why aren't they turning up each week? Why are they getting beaten average of 35 points a game? Even the Cowboys win. Okay, Cowboys won close. You saw what sort of form the Cowboys were in at Chart Park yesterday. It's no big thing to beat the Cowboys in current form. Am I overreacting? Am I talking sense?
Oh, no, I think Brad's under pressure. But I get back to what you said earlier about it's only seven games in and you're not reading. You're saying, off the back of last year. I agree with you off the back of last year, but I still think it's so early because they're three from seven.
Laurie, there were 8 tries in 25 minutes against a Dolphins side without four game-breaking players.
Mm.
We cannot... That was pathetic up in Darwin. Pathetic.
Mm. Yeah, no, I get that. But, like, next week, if teams lose by big margins, there's some teams there that have got, I think, more quality than what Parramatta have that are sitting on the same amount of points.
The Roosters.
Well, the Roosters are one. Like, I expected them to be going a lot better. Now, we've gone through South, so we don't want to sort of continually throw them in the mix. They've had the bye, and we'll see how they come back. But, you know, the Roosters, like the Warriors. Like, the Warriors are only 1 point in front of the Eels.
Yeah, but the point I keep trying to make, they're not getting beaten 41 points down in the national capital. They're not getting bashed by Dolphins. You can look at these results and you look at a premiership table, but when you deep dive. And look, Brad said they gave up, that they're a part-time football side. Now, it's the coach's job to bring them on game day ready to play footy. That's the coach's job. You do all your skills, all your tactics during the week, but they have to turn up on game day and they're not. They're not playing for him. That was so obvious.
It's certainly a watch this space, I think. And, well, who knows what will trend. They need to win this weekend to take some pressure off him.
But what I said, they're particularly damning the New South Wales Cup and Flag side from a big feeder club with a big pathway.
Yeah, that's not great.
Looking at those stats, that doesn't look at any better. Hey, something a bit more positive. Reece Walsh.
Oh.
He's been out for a couple of weeks, but Jesus, when he comes back on the field, it's almost must-watch, isn't it, no matter who's playing?
I was going to say, you almost look at the draw every week. Look when the Broncos are playing. Put it on the top of the fridge or in your diary and you just got to watch him play football. He is such an exciting player. And again, he was magnificent the other night, even on a slippery, heavy track. He was great. And again, I don't want to be negative towards James Tedesco, but I thought he struggled. In fairness, he was one game back from concussion the other night when the Roosters played Thursday night. And I wrote this morning that Mal Meninga left Reece Walsh and Ponga out of his Australian side last year and were beaten 30-0 by the Kiwis. I think the test matches at the end of the year, if form stays the same, that Reece Walsh will have to be chosen as the Australian fullback. And sadly, it'll end Teddy's reign and a magnificent career in the green and gold jersey as captain as well. And but Reece Walsh, what a great rugby league player.
Yeah, he's
I haven't
very
seen
good.
Anyone as exciting as him and a marketing machine, what he is. He's a character. And there's one other thing I really liked about his... the other night, poor old Chevy Stewart had a really 18 years of age, had a really unhappy game for the Raiders, but afterwards Reece Walsh made a beeline for him and said, look, rugby league's a roller coaster, mate, you know, chin up, we know you're a better player than a couple of the errors you made. And yeah, it was nice, I thought.
No, that is a nice gesture from Reece. And just on young Chevy, I don't think anyone has played the game without having a game like that.
I wrote this morning, I think it'll be good for his career, you know. And he didn't go hiding, did he?
No, he's going to be a wonderful player.
Yep,
a wonderful 100%. Player. 18 years of age. Everyone goes through that at some stage in their career. He's obviously had to go through it in his second game, but he's the future of the Raiders and someone
absolutely
that will be there long term. Now, I mentioned the Roosters buzz before. They're not travelling as well as what most people expected them to this year. But I think the Dragons have exceeded a lot of people's expectations this season. And they meet on Anzac Day in what is traditionally a wonderful contest and a sold-out stadium. And this one on Thursday will be possibly even better than the ones we've seen in the past.
Dragons and Bulldogs are both the best story in rugby league. Two Sydney clubs, great Sydney clubs that have struggled for many, many years. And to see the Dragons put away, what was the score, 30-12 against the Warriors. They've got, Anzac Day is always a great game. St George can be on the bottom. Roosters can be on the top. And it's still a good game of footy there at Allianz, 40-odd thousand people there. Shane Flanagan has rebuilt this side almost overnight. They've won four games of footy. They're playing a really, really nice brand of rugby league, brilliantly led by Ben Hunt. And Bulldog wrote this morning, Kyle Flanagan, unwanted at the Bulldogs, unwanted at the Roosters. Only his dad saved his career, giving us, I think he's nearly the most improved player in the competition. And Zach Lomax, I've never seen a player who wanted out so happy. Did you see after that try, that magnificent try he scored? And he's leading the Dally M Award, Zach Lomax. And it is going to be an Anzac Day blockbuster. I cannot wait to be there. It's my favourite occasion of the year. Bigger than Origin, in my view. Bigger than Magic. I just love the atmosphere out there. When two great footy sides turn up and we salute the Diggers, and yeah, it'll be a great day at Allianz on Thursday.
It'll be a huge day. One of the guys playing in that game is Joseph Soali. Talk of him playing for the Blues.
I don't like it, mate.
Yeah, I can see that because he's leaving. I get that, but others will have different opinions.
Others will have different opinions, but it's not as if we don't have other options. We've got Josh Adokar, Brian To'o, we've got the guy I was just talking about, Zach Lomax. So I reckon Joseph is on level pegging, or is probably not playing quite as well as those three this year. I don't like rewarding people who've chosen to nick off and play another sport. I'd like to see Madge give someone the Blues jumper who's committed to the Blues jumper for a long period of time. Laurie, would you pick him if you were coaching?
Well, interesting question, Buzz. If I thought he was the best man for the job, I would.
Would you?
Yeah, I would. Given that it's not the coach's responsibility anymore to worry about the pathways in the future, they're worried about there and now. I think what Madge's contract is over, and I know he's working a lot more, but they changed the contract about it's a 3-month gig.
Yeah.
But hold on, when you went to Super League all those years ago, you were stopped from playing for Australia because the ARL then. So if you're going, David Gallop said it years ago, you can't play for Coke and Pepsi at the same, or work for Coke and Pepsi at the same time. He's going to a rival sport.
Right.
Why are we giving the opportunity to earn 30 grand a game? Why are we putting him on our showpiece stage when there are other options who are, that's just my view.
Oh, yeah. Well, people would have the same opinion about Joey Manu then, if he was to go and play rugby union and then come back and play rugby league next year, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but we don't. That's hypothetical. He's going to union as soon as the comp's over, so the New Zealand Rugby League don't have a decision to make there.
Yeah, but would you like to see players finish up and go and play union for half a season then come back into the NRL?
Oh, it's a very, very good question, Laurie. Yes. But look, that's certainly the Roosters' plan, as I wrote in my What's the Buzz on Sunday. That's what they're planning to do.
Yeah.
Whether it's just, look, Joey Manu loves the Sydney Roosters, but he's seen an opportunity here to go and play in Japan, beef up his bank balance, and come back and play NRL.
Got it.
The Roosters are taking a risk there, guys, because he's not going to get an off-season. He's not going to get a rest. Can his body handle NRL, Japanese, et cetera? So it's a risk.
Thank you, Bard's. Got to leave it there, mate.
See you, boys. Cheers now.